Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the third chapter of the Revelation given to St. John. We read select verses from the letter to the Laodiceans. Our Lord says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. If only I'd been able to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him teach. If only I had been able to witness one of Jesus' miracles. If only I'd been able to sit at the foot of the cross and watch his blood drip to the ground. If only I had been there to see his body go into the grave and then 3 days later to go and see that he had risen. If only I had been able to touch his side and to put my hands into the fingerprints in his hand like Thomas was allowed to do. If only I could have seen him ascend to heaven. If only God were to come and reveal himself to me and show himself to us, just split open the clouds and show us who he is, then I'd have a stronger faith. Then I would really be a believer. Then I would really, really care about this faith. If only the preacher were a little more interesting. If only the music was just a little bit better at my church. If only we had a better youth program. If only then, for sure, I would have a stronger faith. Then I would be a lot more intense about loving Christ. It's very easy for me to come up with reasons that have nothing to do with me as to why my faith is not so strong and why I don't always care about Christ the way I should. It's very easy for me to fall into the trap of blaming it on God. Why didn't you let me live in an era when I got to actually be there with Christ? Why did you make me live in this era instead? Why did you make me grow up in a family that went to this church instead of another church? God, you're maybe the reason my faith isn't so strong. The devil's very wise. He knows that you may know and understand the doctrines of the Christian church very well. You may know the history of the church. You may know your Bible very well. And he knows that tempting you to believe a false teaching, a false doctrine, is maybe not the thing that's going to pull you away. He'll let you have that. Go ahead, have it all you want. But if he can get you to stop caring about it, if he can get you to stop thinking it's important, maybe that's the temptation that he'll put in front of you. It can be very draining to follow Christ. It can be draining to be a Christian in this world. We know what the outcome of this faith is going to be for us because of what our Savior's done and what that means for our future, but that's a long ways away, especially for you guys here in college. That seems like a long ways away. And there's a lot of life that's going to maybe pass you by in the meantime. There's a lot of great stuff you might be missing out in the meantime. And so it can really be draining to try to stay in this faith. It's not easy to do. It's difficult. And you get badgered by the world and other people and your own thoughts, things that you'd like to do with your life that just don't seem to fit into this. It can be very challenging to stay a Christian. That same problem was prevalent in the church in Laodicea. These very early Christians, and we often think, man, if I could have been in the first century or so and come to believe in Christ and maybe talk to some of the actual witnesses of his resurrection, Just think how much stronger my faith would be. They had the same problem we do. Because the problem isn't in all of that. The problem's here. It's in us. It's in our old sinful Adam. I can come up with so many. My old Adam is so brilliant. He can come up with so many ideas to keep me from loving Christ and wanting to hear his word. That's the problem. That's the issue. Our Lord, when he addresses the Laodiceans, is speaking to all Christians of all times. And he gives them this warning. And he talks about being either hot or cold. Hot representing really loving Christ and wanting to care about his kingdom and hold on to this faith. Cold being virtually spiritually dead in unbelief. But then he describes this interesting lukewarmness. Lukewarmness. Like a piece of ham that sits out on the counter and it's not hot or cold anymore. It's just good for nothing. And that's what our faith can sometimes become like, just this lukewarmness. And he says, when you taste something like that, I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. What a statement. Many years ago, there was a student on this campus who had been raised in wonderful parents. I happen to know his parents. Great people. They loved him to death and just took care of him so well. But for some reason, he just wandered off from them and became estranged from his family, to my knowledge, has had no contact with them now for over a decade, just doesn't care about his parents at all, has no desire to have a relationship with his parents. They've tried to reach him. They don't even know where he lives anymore. Just a really sad situation. And so even though his parents have loved him and tried to take good care of him and gave him things in life, just by his side of things, he just has become estranged. He's living as if he's an orphan, even though his parents completely love him and want him to still have a good relationship with them. That is how many of us can be tempted to be in this world toward God. We know that he loves us. We know that he created us. He gave us our bodies and everything. He's sent his son to redeem us, to pay for our sins. And yet it's so easy to live in estrangement toward God, as if we're just orphans, as if he has nothing to do with our life, as if we want nothing to do with him. We can be very tempted to live our lives in that way, even though the parent, God, has this tremendous longing for us to know him and to be with him and to be united with him. And so there are times when God must come to his children and chasten them, when he must chastise them in order to strengthen them and bring them back to his side. And that intense warning that we find in our text today is driven by his love, the same love that sent his son to the cross for you. That same love is there in his word today to want us, bring us back into his grace. Imagine a dad who finds out from somebody that his 13-year-old daughter is at a big drinking party somewhere. And he goes to the garage that this is happening in and finds these 20 young ladies, 13-year-olds, all whooping it up and having a good time. Some of them are drinking beer and some of them are smoking pot and everything. And here's his daughter right in the middle of it. Who's the first one he's going to go after? Who's the first one he wants to talk to? It's that daughter. Because of his intense love for her, that's the one he's going to speak to first. Even though what she is possibly doing in the group is less than everybody else, she's the one he's going to go after. That's how the Lord is toward his faithful in this world. Yeah, there's plenty of wickedness and evil and sin tempting people all around us. There's a lot of sin that's maybe worse than what God would find in his children. But when he spots us slipping away from him, that's the one he wants to go talk to and get by our side and get in our face with his word and tell us to repent and call us to have a change of heart and come back to him and to come back to his wonderful grace and forgiveness. And it's all driven by his love for his children. And so today, just as he's doing to me through his word, Christ may be knocking at your heart today. Because he wants to come in and eat with you. And he wants to visit you. And he wants you to be in his company. This is the very Christ that has suffered and bled for you so you could have heaven. Listen to what he says. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Years ago, I was talking to a Christian day school teacher who was showing a man around the campus of their school. This man had escaped persecution from the Middle East, and he and his family had now come and were going to live in this community, and he wanted his children to attend this Christian school. And the man that told me this story, the principal, was giving them a tour of the church and the grounds. And as he got the father to the sanctuary doors, they opened the sanctuary doors, and the man knelt down, and he said, "This is where my children will hear about Jesus." And the man who told me this story said it really struck him how here he's been blessed with this his whole life, but someone who had to come from a persecuted country where he had to fight to hold on to this faith had to show him to regain the reverence and the awe and the wonderment of knowing Christ and being able to sit at his feet. May God, through his word and sacraments, cause us to regain that type of reverence and that type of wonderment for this beautiful, precious gift we have in our Savior, so that we never let go of it, so that we actually get to walk through the gates of heaven someday. The Savior that says to you today, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." Amen.